Autobahn. Mosaf Sak Ala Beged Shetame Mishumare. This apparently is made out of some kind of I don't know, fibers that are on the end of like the curls are that are at the end of the sheep hair. Is that how you learned it yesterday? Did you discuss it yesterday at all? Rashi says notzota. All right, good evening. Rashi says notzota. Yeah, I just started now. Asui mi notza shalizim. The curls, the. I get, you know, the floaty stuff of goat wool. So that's mitame. The Gemara says, the Gemara asks a question. We're at the top, second line of Daf Samach Dalet Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, Atu beged lav ariku. So you're telling me that this thing, this mosav sak, which is made out of, I guess, kind of loose particle, the sort of the ends of the goat hair. So if it's arig, which means it's sewn together, stitched together, so it's mitame. So the Gemara says, Atu beged lav ariku. So any kind of beged that's stitched together is tame. What makes this special than other things? I mean, that doesn't prove anything. So the Gemara says, no, haki kamar. Most of sak ala beged apo pi shenu arig tame. Essentially, if you make if you make something out of this most of sak, even though it's not stitched together, I think because it's usable and functional, it's considered a kli, and therefore it is mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, l'may chazi. So one is to tell me what exactly it's good for, this mosav sak, which apparently people are making good use out of. So Rav Yochanan, shekein ani kolea b'shalosh nimin v'tolea b'tzvar b'tel. I think he ties three strings together and he hangs them from his daughter's neck and she dangles all kinds of nice things on them. It reminds me a little bit if you go to Yerushalayim and you're in the center of town, so they give tzedakah and they give you these little strands of red, you know, the mekubalim give you. And I'm not sure they're arig at all, to be perfectly honest, but people wear them and you can dangle something from them. So it's not, certainly not unfeasible even today to imagine what it is that they were talking about. It's a poor person's necklace. Tana Rabbanan, sak. We learned sak. Now, sak was brought down in the pasuk when it comes to tuma of sheretz. It was included in the things that if it touches a sheretz, it is also matame. So I understand sock because it's a human accoutrement. But what about kilkali and chevek? Kilkali are the reins or some kind of, I think Rashi says it's the part that goes around the stomach of the horse perhaps, and the chevek is perhaps the mouthpiece of the horse. There are various accoutrements of the horse, and they were made not out of leather, as you would imagine if you watch a lot of cowboy movies, but out of this wool item. So the Gemara says, Tamalomar o sock. Or sock, which means the word O is unnecessary, and therefore they're learning out O, meaning or sock, so what is it, sock or what? So the unstated what would be something that is not only human accoutrement, but also an animal's accoutrement. That is, an accoutrement made for an animal. We'll talk later about an accoutrement made out of a different kind of animal. These are all made from goats. So, yachol shani merabet achavalim etam shichot. So maybe, if you're telling me, oh, sock, so once you're adding in the accoutrements for the animals, why don't I just add in chavalim and shichot? I think they're also made out of this wool, and I think they're used for measuring, like a tape ruler or something like that. So the Gemara says, tamalama sock. Ma sock tavi va'arig af kli af kol tavi va'arig. So it has to be, in order for it to be mitame, it has to be tavi. Tavi is like, if you look at tzitzit, so when it's kind of like twisted together, that's called tavi. I'm not sure what that's called in English, but here, this example. So this twisting, curling thing, which makes a thread what it is, makes a thread stick, so that would be called tavi. And arig is the actual woman warp that it goes through. So apparently sock, just like a regular sock. Now what's interesting is, this most of sock does not have to be arig. My guess is it might have to be tavi, I don't know. But a standard sock is tavi v'arig, and therefore anything that's tavi and v'arig, and apparently these mishichot and chavalim, essentially what you had was just a long piece of wool, and you would use it to mark off whatever, meters or amot or whatever they marked off, and you would use it as a measuring, and therefore it would not be considered a kli, it would not be considered mekabel tuma sheretz. So the Gemara says, Har yomer b'meit, but wait a second. doesn't it say b'meit v'chol kli or v'chol masa yizim tidchatao, anything made out of leather, and anything made out of goats, you have to has to go through a purification process. L'rabo tetakil kli v'tachebek. Yachol sha'ani merabi etachavlim etamshichot. Well, wait a second. When it comes to mate, I've got an extra word in there. I've got kol. That is, the word kol means anything made out of this product, not something specifically that is... By the case of sherets, we have the word sock. So we could say it has to have the definition of a sock, which means it has to be a tavi and ari. It has to be twisted and twined and stitched. But here it says kol kliyob, kol masi izim. So if I'm including kilkli and chabek, if I'm already including horse accoutrements, yachol shani merabet chavalim etam shichot, so I might as well just... As far as Tumah Mate goes, maybe I should say that one of these Meshichot and one of these Chavalim that touched a dead person would be considered Tameh. The Gemara says, no, Vidinhu, it's the exact opposite. Vidinhu is a Binyan Av, which means if I learn something about one Din, it should equally apply to a sub-case, or an equal case. The Gemara says, Timei B'Sheretz, V'Timei B'Mate. It uses the word Timei in both cases. Now, there's a distinction between a Gzeir Shava and a Binyan Av, which I'm not going to go into because I don't know if I know it well enough to really explain it anyway. But this is not considered a Gzeir HaShava that you can learn all laws out of. This is really trying to say that they're really the two of the same laws, but they each have a super category. Think of it as there's a general category of Tumah. There are two subcategories of one Sheretz, one is Tumah Mei, one is Tumah Sheretz. But certain laws, once I establish that they both belong to the super category, if I say that one halacha belongs to the super category, it belongs to all the subcategories as well. Sort of works down the chain. It's kind of a programmer's idea, really. It's like inheritance in programming. So, as opposed to Gzeir HaShava. Gzeir HaShava is a quality where you're saying that the two are essentially completely equal, even though they really have nothing in common. For instance, we learn out Pruta, and we learn how to marry a woman from Abraham, making a kinyan on a piece of land. Nobody's arguing that the two are the same. We simply have the word yikach. A Gzeir HaShava cannot be learned from deduction. I believe a Binyan Av may be learned from deduction. I'm not sure. But a Gzeir HaShava, the Gemara does discuss it a little. But the Gemara ultimately, I believe it's in Sukkah, which we'll be doing next year. The Gemara ultimately rejects the idea that a Gzeir HaShava could be learned out of like Kal v'chomer. You need a Masorah for a Gzeir HaShava, because essentially you're taking apples and oranges and you're saying that for all intents and purposes, they're the same. That's not true with Binyan Av. Binyan Av does rely on logical inheritance from one law to the other, or from a law from the parent law. Anyway, let me continue on. V'dinu v'timei b'sheretz v'timei b'meit ma kishetimei b'sheretz lo timei le tavi v'arid af kishetimei b'meit lo timei ela tavi v'arig. So since there's a din, you're trying to say that I should include these measuring equipment. Why? Because I have the word kol by mate, which tells me that anything made out of yizim, not just specifically a sock-like item. The Gemara says no, because I got a dinhu, and the din says tummy applies, and therefore, just like things which are not woven and stitched should not be do not makabel tumah by sheret, so too, and they're not makabel tumah by mate. The Gemara says hein im hekel b'tami sheret shu kala nekel b'tumat amet shu chumura. No, that law which you're learning out, that these measurement sticks that are made out of goat hair are not Tameh, you can't say that applies to Tumah in general. Why? Because we're being makil by Sheretz, because Sheretz is a one-day Tumah. So therefore, we said, okay, I'll give you Sak, and I'll give you Kalim. But there's no way that such a light Tumah is going to be able to transfer, it doesn't have enough squeeze to transfer its Tumah over to something which is barely a Kli, that is something which is not Tavi V'Ari. But by Tumah Tameh, which is a powerful Tumah, that the thing that becomes Tameh could then be Tameh something else, so maybe it has the super transference power, and it can really transfer over to something which is a lesser Kli, which would be the Chavilah and the Meshicha, which means you can't say that they're the same. In fact, I could say that they're quite different. Therefore, laws that you learn by Sheretz, you may not learn Tumah laws, or the ability to contract Tumah like a disease, just because it doesn't happen by Sheretz does not mean that it won't happen by Tameh. So Gemara says, I have another answer for you. Talmud Lomar, Beged Va'or. So forget about the Binyan Av, I got a Gzeir HaShava for you. Gzeir HaShava. Nomar Beged Va'or, Nemar Beged Va'or B'Sheretz, Nemar Beged Va'or B'Made. It says Beged Va'or in both places. Ma Beged Va'or Ha'amor B'Sheretz, Lo Timei Eli Tavi V'Areg, Af Beged Va'or Ha'amor B'Made, Lo Timei Eli Tavi V'Areg. again, really you haven't made any distinction. All you've said is since it doesn't apply to Sheretz, therefore it doesn't apply to Meif. But a Gzeir Shavah is much more powerful than a Binyan Av, because a Binyan Av is susceptible to logic that will keep the two from being equated. If you can cancel the equation, you cancel the transfer of the law. Not so by Gzeir Shavah. Gzeir Shavah lives beyond logical, it could extend beyond logic. Although we'll see there's a limit to the extension beyond logic that we're going to get to in a second. The Gemara says, okay, hold on. Ma beged v'or amor b'meit, tamei kol ma'ase izim. Af beged v'or amor b'sheret, tamei kol ma'ase izim. Ein li'ela davar haba min ha'izim, minayin l'rabo davar b'ba mizanav v'sus mizanav apar. I said, okay, you gave me a nice gzei reshava, which is sweet. But now that we've established this gzei reshava, let's see what else we can deduce from it, which is, by beged, by sheret, it specifically says, only thing that, I'm sorry, by sheretz, I only know things that come from goat wool. No, that's wrong. Hold on. By sheretz or by mate? Ma beged or however be mate tame kol ma'aseizim. Wrong. I'm sorry. Tame mate, it just specifically says kol aba min ha'ez. And therefore I can learn that things that come from an ez that are product of a goat, therefore the matame. And therefore, by transference, I also know that goats are also matami by sheret. But minayin l'rabo davar abba mizanav asuvs umuzanav ha'para. What about things which are also come from different types of animals, such as a sus or such as a or the tail of a cow? Can I? Where do I know that those things are tami or not tami? So the Gemara says, osak. So now I could use the word osak. Now the Gemara is going to ask the question, v'hafikta l'kilkul v'chavak. Before you used the word osak to tell me that not only a sak, but also accoutrements for a horse. The Gemara says, no, hani mili mikami delet gzereshava. When I didn't have gzereshama, then I needed the word osak to say osak, oh something else, i.e. the accoutrements for a horse. But once you gave me this sweet gzereshava, and by mate it says anything that comes from a product of an ez, therefore, I don't need osak to include products of an ez that are made for accoutrements for horse. Therefore, I can use the o for something else. Hashtadat exereshava, itali. Once you brought me exereshava, I got this word o here, which means sak, o something else. Used to be I needed the o something else for accoutrements for horse that I made out of an ez, but now I could say, no, it's not a question of what it's made into, it's a question of what it's made out of. The o doesn't mean something that's made from a goat for X or for Y. It means something that's made from a goat or for some unknown product, and that unknown product is sus and para. And by the way, I assume not only sus and para, I don't know for sure, but I assume anything that you can make, any product that you can make, any animal product that you can make threads out of, and therefore garments. The Gemara says, Ein li'ela sheretz betuma meit minayin. Oh, wait a second. The word O was nice, and it taught me all about horses, not products for horses, but products from horses and products from the tails of cows. That's very nice by Sheretz, got the word O. Batuma, mate, minayin. But how do I know that horse-haired stuff and cow-tail-haired stuff are makabel tuma when they touch a dead body? And I have to tell you, this left me, I have to take a little aside here, this left me completely stumped, because I was thinking, hey, we have a gzeir shava. You see what I'm saying? Once I have gzeir shava, everything that applies for X, i.e. the sheretz, also applies for meit. So I was a little confused here. I looked in the footnotes, I didn't see anything. I looked in Rashi, I didn't see anything. Maybe I missed it. But I'm thinking it's possible that since we have to have the word O specially, that is, since the word O is a special gzeira, it's a special limud, it could be that it stands outside the parameters of a gzeir shava. You see what I'm saying? Because otherwise, anything that applies to X applies to Y. Anything that applies to Y applies to X. So why did they make it a big deal? Once I've deduced that horse-haired products are Makabe Tuma from Sheret, so why shouldn't it be Makabe Tuma from Mate? I don't have a quick and simple answer, except for the fact that word maybe O is such a specialty word that could only apply to its own thing and it can't be Xera shoved over. That's my best guess. I have to claim ignorance on this issue because I was confused by the Gemara. Now the Gemara goes sort of through the same process. Vidinhu, wait a second, it's a Binyanav. There's a certain quality in these two tumas. Time b'meit v'time b'sheretz. They're both matame. Ma shetime b'sheretz asa davar abba mizanav usus mizanav apara k'masa isim. Once I know that sheretz, that if something made out of a horse hair or cow tail hair is matame, afka shetime b'meit asa davar abba mizanav usus mizanav apara Kimasa Yisiv, it should be the same thing. Now again, here I'm confused. I don't know why they didn't go with the Gzeira Shava. The Gzeira Shava is already established, but apparently they don't want to go to the Gzeira Shava. That's learned from the word O. They want to go to the Binyan Av again to try to equate the two Tumas. The Gemara says, the Gemara now rejects that Binyan Av, but it rejects it for the opposite reason that we rejected it before. If you remember, before we rejected the Binyan Av because we were trying to learn something from Mate, that Mate is not Matame measuring sticks. We said you can't do that because Mate may be a super Matame, and just because something's not Matame by Sheret doesn't mean that the Matame Mate, which is super Matame, won't do the job also. Here we're going to do the exact opposite. Hain, im here bebetumot erev shim ruben, nar bebetumot shiva shim wetet. No. Here we do know of a tuma, that is, horse-haired stuff and cow tail-haired stuff is matami by sheret. But sheret, while it doesn't have deep tuma, it has broad tuma. You see what I'm saying? That is, a tummy sheret is matami lots and lots of different things, because it's only tummy for one night. Tummy mate is not tummy lots and lots of different things. It's more limited in the givun, in the different types of things that will be matame. So even though it has a deeper tummy, it has a narrower tummy in the type of materials that it will make tummy. And therefore, just because I know that a certain material, i.e. horse hair, but remember we're focused on material now, a horse hair thing and a cow hair thing, cow tail hair thing, is matami by sheretz, that does not prove anything by tummy mate, because tummy mate, while it may go long, it doesn't go wide. Okay? So the Gemara answers differently. I'll tell you how we know about horse-haired stuff. Tamal Omar, beged va'or, beged va'or. So now we're doing a gzera shava again. Nomar beged va'or b'sheretz, v'nomar beged va'or b'mate. Ma beged va'or amor b'sheretz, asa davar abba mizan v'sus, mizan av aparak masa yizim. Just like we have beged va'or over by sheretz, which is metame products from a horse and a cow tails. Af beged va'or amor b'mate, also those products that they touch a dead person, Asa davar abani zanav asus um zanav apar kamasa isim. So essentially, to repeat what we had before, we discarded the binyan av to go with the gzera shava. Again, I go back to the same question. Why did we just play the gzera shava that we already had in our hands? The card was there on the table. Another possible answer, which is as follows. Maybe a binyan av is always preferred to gzera shava, because gzera shava is like dues machina. You know what I mean? God comes down and he says, I got a word here, and I got a word here, and now two things which are completely separate, they're now the same. I think maybe the Gemara would prefer to have a binyan av, because a binyan av is logical. If I could assume that this applies to tumah in general, then it works its way all the way down to the parts, and therefore it's better. That's my guess. Again, obviously this thing's really bothering me. I keep throwing different guesses. Whichever one you like is fine, and if you don't like any of them, that's fine too. So anyway, the Gemara says, wait a second, mufna? The problem with the Gzeira Shava is that the words of the Gzeira Shava have to be free. That you can't be learning those words. We had the word beged va'or, beged va'or. If you're using beged va'or for something else, you can't use them for Gzeira Shava. That is, Gzeira Shava needs a free ticket. So the Gemara says, "Umufna di la mufna ikam amifrach ma'ala sheretz shekem betuma keda adasha." If you don't have those words free, then I can knock this whole thing down. How do I knock it down? I could say that a sheretz is metame more in a sense. Sheretz is mitami more in a sense than is mate. Why? Because a sheretz is mitami with an adasha, which is about the size of a lentil, because that's the bug size, that's a general bug size. But a tumat mate, you have to have a kezayit of a dead person to be mitami mate. And therefore, you can see that while tumat mate is deeper, it transfers better, it has to have a minimum size for it to do a transfer. But the bottom line is, they're not the same, and I can't learn them out from a gzeira shava unless those two words are completely free. If one says li'i, they are free. Afnuye mufne, they're completely free. I'll prove it to you. Mechdi sheretit kedisha shechbat zera. How do I know? Because sheretz itself, we're working right now on the link between sheretz and tumat mate. But there's another link that we haven't mentioned, which is a link between sheretz and shechbat zera. The two are linked. Dechtiv ish asher teitzei mimenu shechbat zera, a man who has a seminal emission. The samech lay, and right next to it is the pasuk ish asher yigah b'chol sheretz, a man who touches b'chol sheretz. Now here we have more than gzera shava, by the way. We have something called smichut parshiot. Smichut parshiot is when you have two different laws, especially in Dvarim and also in Vayikra, that are right next to each other, and we learn one thing from the other. For instance, the famous smichut parshiot by Yibum and Chalitza. Right before Yibum and Chalitza, there's a law about land. that you don't like, so therefore you don't have to buy it if you don't want it. I can't remember exactly what the law is. I'd have to look it up. What does that teach us? That a woman who doesn't like the yibum that she's getting, that is, let's say her husband dies. The next in line brother, there's something wrong with him, something horribly wrong with him. So Chazal learned with that, she's allowed to cancel. If she doesn't like it, she can cancel right out of the yibum. Now you would think she could cancel out anyway, because it's like kiddushin, but it's not so simple. So machloket, the Rambam says that a woman could cancel out of yibum just like she should cancel out of kiddushin, but that's not everybody agrees that is true. So in any event, we learned that from Smichul Parshiot, which means the fact that they're adjacent, we learned something out of them. So anyway, where were we? I lost my place. Mechti sheretid kishlo shich matzera duchti v'isha sheretid tzeimen shachzera v'samech leim rai nesu said you should yigab b'chol sheret. Vikti v'y, not only are they samach, but I also have gzera shava. Uchti v'y b'shich matzera v'chol beged v'chol or. I got my two fancy words. I got beged, I got or. Asher ye alav. Shich matzera beged or duchti v'rachmana b'sheret lamali shmami na lef nuye. Therefore, I didn't need beged v'or. I knew beged v'or because the shich matzera already told me beged v'or. And then I walk right into the parsha of Sheretz. Obviously, the or, the beged that I still had from the previous parsha still applies, and therefore this beged v'or must be left free specifically to create a gzeir shava with tumat mates. The Gemara says, "Wait a second, v'akati mufna mitzad achad hu." Now we got a problem.
How can a word being free being superfluous? Could it be? Could it have two meanings? Could it be used for two different things?
In this, the idea is that it is completely superfluous, that if the words were left out, the impression here is that if Begin and Or were left out of Tumat Sheretz, we would know it anyway, because we had in the previous Parsha about Shechvat Zera, which is also a Tami Parsha, Begin V'Or, and therefore, obviously, if I continue talking about a different type of Tumah, the same laws would apply, i.e. Begin V'Or. Therefore, adding Begin V'Or is a repeat. It must be used for some other meaning,
right,
some other purpose.
Just a general question, that when you have an extra word used for some other purpose, can it be used for two different things, or you seem to want to focus that there's one meaning for this superfluous word?
Well, in this Gemara, we're hoping for zero meanings, so that we have at least one for Gzeir Shavim. But yes, it is possible. It's a good question. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, a little confusing. The Gemara Sanhedrin seems to imply no, because somebody who learns Elohim for one thing can learn Elohim for another thing. We have a similar problem with Bracha when it comes to the Shema. There's a big machloket about whether Shema means to comprehend or whether it means just to have audibility. Why can't it be both? And the Gemara seems to spend a lot of time to make sure that it's not both. That would seem to imply that words cannot have two different meanings. However, Rashi says that there's a famous Gemara on page 34 of Brachot, I believe, but I'm not sure. That says Echad. It quotes a Tehillim, and it said Echad Hashem diber v'shtayim zu shamati. God said one thing, and I heard two things. So the Gemara says that one thing could have two possible meanings. However, there it doesn't look like it's talking about two separate halachic meanings. My best guess is you could have two separate meanings, but you can't have two separate halachic distinctions made out of the same word.
I
could have like a shot. There are levels of meaning, but I think halakhically you're only allowed one. That's correct. That's my impression. That was the impression that I got when I was learning that Shema thing, because they were really working hard to avoid double meaning, and yet later on they seemed comfortable with double meaning, and I think it was only because they were forcing a halakhic learning, and you can't say that you could apply. Yeah, that's my thinking, but I don't know if I'm right about it. That's just my impression of learning. So Gemara says, Vakati Mufne Mitzad Echad. Everybody have a place? Or okay? I can't tell on my Gemara if we're on Daf Aleph or Daf Bet. How are we doing? Are we still on Daf Aleph?
Yep.
Oh my goodness, we're in trouble. Okay. So, Vakati Mufne Mitzad Echad Hu. So wait a second. That frees up the word Beged V'Or on Sheretz. Hanich Lamandam Mufne Mitzad Echad Lemidim Ve'ein Meshivim Elamandam Lemidim Meshivim Ma'ik L'Neymar. So what happens is, it has to be a two-way street. According to one man to Amar, all I need is the Gzera Shava words, my link words. It's like a wormhole in space. All I need is the words that wormhole to be free on one side. On the other side, which is by Tami Meida, I don't need those words to be free. And I could say whatever I want about it, nobody could question it. However, according to another opinion, you can learn a Gzera Shava if you have one wormhole side free, but if the other side is taken, that is, if Begin and Or is required by mate for the understanding of the parsha itself rather than it's just a free parsha, then it's up to attack. And we have an attack because we proved that the two are not equally metame. So Gemara says, don't worry about it. Even according to the Man D'Amar, who says that you need both sides of Gezer Shava words to be free and unused, that's exactly what we have here. Mechdi meidiv kishu shichbat zera, dechdiv anogei b'chol tamei, nefesh o asher teitzeim imenu shichbat zera, k'tiv shichbat zera, kol beged b'chol or, beged v'or dechdiv rachmana, b'meit lamali shmanu lafnui. So essentially what we're saying is, that Shichvat Zera and Meter always also have a Gzera Shava. Because it says, Nogeh b'chol tamei nefesh o ish asher teitzei mimenu Shichvat Zera. And it says also, b'chol beged b'chol or beged v'or d'chdi rachman alam lishman min alef nuye. I can't remember how it makes the hekesh. It could be, Hanogeh b'chol tamei nefesh o ish asher teitzei mimenu Shichvat Zera. It has the word Shichvat Zera in mate. Therefore creating a connection between those two, not a Gzera Shava, but a real bond between the two, and therefore since it says Begin of Or by Shechva Zera, I did not need Begin of Or by its sister item or by its married item, which is the Tumat Mate, and therefore it's free on both sides, I can make Gzera Shava. So the bottom line is anything that applies to one applies to the other, and the final conclusion is things that are made out of horse hair are Matame Sheret, and therefore they're also Matame Mate. What's that? Horse tail hair or cow's tail hair. The Nikrav Nugmar. The Nikrav at the Korban, Hashem, Ish, Asher, Matzah, Klei, Zahav, Et Sadav, Et Samid, Betarat, Agil, V'chamuz. This is the easier Gemara, by the way. Amrav Elazar, Agil, Zed, Fushol, Dadin, Kamushol, Kfushol, Beit Rechem. What? No, not on this one. It's very straight. Actually, this is very Tanakh-oriented Gemara, so I'm in more in my element. This is actually what's very fascinating here for a Tanakh class. Is these psukim about bringing these type of jewelry are appear twice. Once after Cheta Egel, where everybody gives up their gold to help build the man of Mikdash, was very positive. And another one following a very bad incident where the Jews go to war with the Midianites for causing the Baal Peor. And they let the women live. And Moshe is really fuming because the women were the problem. You want to bring all the men, and you know, the men, we don't care about it. It was the women were the ones who caused the bomb in the first place. That's the whole point of this little war. So then what they do is they sort of apologize and they bring the chaper on themselves all of these jewelry items. So Rabbi Elazar identifies the jewelry item, and agil from the word circular is tfushal dadin. Essentially it's a bra. Think of it as like a golden corset that would underline the woman's breast. And kumaz is tfushal beit rechem. And kumaz is something that would underline a woman's other parts. I don't know, some type of sexual-oriented jewelry. Amarav, I don't know exactly what they mean to me. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I guess it's probably good something. I can't picture it. Yeah, but I'm not sure that's what they mean by Beit Rechem. I think they mean lower. I believe they mean lower. The Gemara is going to be mashed later that if it was just a womb, it wouldn't bother anybody. You might as well just make a big belly. But the Gemara is going to be mashed that we're talking about sexual body parts. So I think when they said Beit Rechem, I think they're talking about the lower extremity of Beit Rechem, I think. I don't know what such a tafshi would look like. It's hard to say. I don't even remember seeing one in pictures that I've seen of the ancient Near East. I can imagine armor with that kind of breastplate and stuff like that, but I really can't imagine the other part, but that's probably for the best. Amar Rav Yosef, Ihachi Hainu Dimtargimin Machuch Davar Ameli Gichuch. So Rav Yosef supports this idea because the word agil is translated by unkos. Feel free to look it up. It's correct. As machuch, and he translates the word machuch as gichuch, which means to laugh. Now, that's a stretch. That's a verbal stress because gichuch is gimel chet chav and machuch is nem chet chav. But and I checked, by the way, machuch only shows up those two times in unkelos, so a lot more research would be needed to see whether you can make this etymological jump. I do not know. Somalei Rava also agrees. Megufe dekrush mamina kumas kan makom zima. The basic pasuk was saying that is from the pasuk. The fact I think Rashi kicks in the fact that we're being mechaper on ourselves for our sins and we're giving up all this jewelry that looks like a kumas. Therefore, it indicates that this is a place of filth. That's what Zima would be. Okay, I think that's making a statement more about the jewelry than anything else, but that's the bottom line. It's, obviously, this jewelry is coming to honor a woman's sexuality. Gemara says, we're going to spend a little more time on this pasuk. Vayiktsof Moshe al pkudi achayel. So Moshe gets very angry about the women that come back. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba, Baravuha, Amar Lahan. Moshe says, L'Yisrael, Shema chazartem l'kil kol chamer rishon. You're doing the same old, it's the same old thing all over again. You went back to your ways of sexuality. Samru lo nifkad mimenu ish. No, it says that not a man was lost. Now, in the battle, what that means is that no person died in that battle against Midian. But the Rashi explains that the learning out from nifkad is a man didn't fall down, so to speak. A man then loses faith. Amar Lahem, that's from a pasuk, by the way. Lon Kad Menu Ish, but they're translated in a religious way rather than a physical way. So Amar Lahem im kein kapar lama, but it said you brought all of these jewelry items specifically to cleanse your soul as an atonement. So Amar Lo im midi aveir yatzano, midi hir her lo yatzano. Listen, we didn't do anything but we thought, you know. I mean, we're not angels here, so we're bringing a kapara for our thoughts of the things that we thought when we were at war with the Midianites, but we didn't do anything. So miyad nikrav et korban Hashem, and right away it says that Moshe took it and brought it as a korban Hashem. It's a little bit difficult because nikrav korban Hashem comes actually before the pasuk that says it's a kapara, not after, but there's not tanacha, so it's not the place to go into it. So Tani Rabbi Yishmael mitnei ma hutzchu Yisrael shabotu ador kapara, so why did they need to do a kapara? Of nations, Zanu Einehem Min Ha'erka. What? Oh, good, thank you. So they followed their eyes. They checked out the Midianite woman. The Midianite woman were good to look at. And therefore they had to do a kapara for it. Which gets into a philosophical question is, are you ever over an Avera for thoughts as opposed to deeds? So of course that gets into Sefer Eov, where Eov brings Karbano for his kids that maybe they might have thought something. But it's not such a simple thing that people have to bring a korban for thoughts.
Maybe not that they thought, but maybe that they said.
Maybe that they had done something, but he wasn't sure, so he brought a korban anyway. It wasn't a korban of Atala, so you're right. That is another way to learn that, correct? But even so, he's bringing korban, you know, a real korban, sort of the suffix. You're right. The two are not completely related. So Amar Rav Sheshem, v'imam mana akatu tachshitim shebuchut sa'ad. This is a famous gemara, by the way, when it comes to erva. It shows up in Brachot, actually, later on in Brachot. Amar Rav Sheshem, v'imam mana akatu tachshitim shebuchut sa'ad shebuchnim. So I don't know if I doubt Rabbi Chamadol got to this Gemara on Erva. What's that? Oh, is it? Oh, okay. It's pretty famous. So the question is, in that pasuk. So now, unfortunately, when you learn it outside of the context, it's a little hard to understand. But now it makes sense. You had Bnei Yisrael, and according to the way that the Gemara is painted, Bnei Yisrael, they brought all this jewelry as a significance that they're going to burn all of they're burning all the bras. It's a bra burning. That is, they're now saying that we don't want to have anything to do with the sexuality of the Midianites. It's a kapara. But if that's true, I understand the kumas, and I understand the agulim, because those are sexual jewelry, but the rest of them are just regular gold. So, you know, either you're, you know, if it's a kapara for your sins, so bring the right type of stuff. So why is it bring the outside takshitim also? That is normal takshitim. So when it says, lo melcha kol mistakel be'etzva ktana shel isha kilu mistakel makom ha'trufa. Because anybody looks at the little finger of a woman as if he looked in her private parts, if he's looking at the finger of a woman for sexual reasons. So, and that's the way they're saying this pasuk, that is, the Bnei Yisrael, it wasn't just that they were, you know, looking at the, they, you know, they looked at their shoulders and they said, wow, the girl has hot shoulders, and that was part of the sin also, and therefore they wanted to burn every semblance, every part of the jewelry that they took off the women of the Midianites to show that there wasn't a single part of them that they felt that they were completely pure from. And it's a very interesting gemara, and that's the context. Gemara, I think we're up to Mishnah. Yotzeid isha bechutei sha. Now we did some of these actually 7 days ago, so we know some of these, and you probably did it more because I only do once a week. Yotzeid isha bechutei sha. So she's allowed to go with the strands of hair tied up in her hair. Ben mishela, ben mishel chavrta. She could wear her own hair. She could wear a friend's hair. Ben mishel behema. Right. I guess they used to. Some with pretty long hair would cut their hair, maybe a little like blonde streaks, so they would tie somebody else's blonde.
They do this.
Yeah, it's true.
A lot of money for that. Right?
What's that?
They pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know if they wear other people's hair, doctor.
Sure,
do they?
Yeah.
That would help. Yeah, but we're not talking about shekel here.
No,
you're talking about like. I thought they cover completely. They don't?
No, they're like sections of pieces.
Uh-huh.
They're
so something don't change.
I'm getting my hair cut. And like I said, $100-$200 job that they put in.
Other people's hair into her hair to make it look fuller and stuff.
Well, it's like, you know, different shades.
Oh,
very
interesting.
Very interesting. You know, long streaks or
something.
It was many hours of, you know,
wow.
Well, this is very similar to what they're doing.
Right. This shows that some things don't change. So Ben Michel Chavita, Ben Michel Behema. They used animal hair also. That was, you know, like probably the life. If you didn't have $200, so you would go for the animal hair. So Betotafot, Betavitim. These are the things that I think what we found out. Betotafot were the part. Both of these things were attached to the hat that the woman's wearing to cover her hair. I think Betotafot went this way, and Betavitim dangled this way. But one way or the other, if you think of a Yemenite wedding with the woman with the things dangling off her crown, so I think that's something of get some kind of picture of what's going on. So bisman shehem tfurim bekabel. So it's okay for it to go out at the time that they are attached. They're stitched into the cap, because she's not going to take off her cap, because then she'll show her hair, and that can't happen. Uvpei nachli. She's also allowed to go out with a wig. Lechatzer. In all these cases, you're allowed to go in chatzer. Now, not a rishon rabin, but to chatzer. Now, most jewelry that you were likely to take off, you couldn't even go into a chatzer. But these, you're allowed to go into a chatzer, and the question is going to be why. The Mishnah continues on. Bimoch sheba ozna. Something to, I don't know, like a Q-tip. Something to dry up the wetness that was coming out of the ears. I'm not sure exactly why. Uvimoch sheba sandla. Moch, by the way, the word mochin is actually like, you know, you use the word moch form when you crack open a bone and you get inside, what's it called?
Narrow.
So that's called moch, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. So I think the idea of this moch is not that it's the marrow, but it's a wetness absorber. Uvimoch shehit kino lenidata. And also for the moch that she puts in, that would be her, you know, tampon. That would be her protection. So that's what they used. Probably a spongy kind of thing. In all these three cases, I picture in the ears, I picture like when you go swimming, so they stick those things in the ears to keep the water from coming in. So I guess people wore these on a regular basis. The pilpel, so pilpel.
She said her wax was running from her ears, and this wide, she put in her ears would absorb the wax.
Yeah. I wonder if it was a common problem back then. I don't know. What's that? Maybe because people clean their ear and take showers now. I think probably because we're cleaner than we used to be. I wonder if it was like a real problem. I was looking at this Gemara, I was wondering, like, how common could it be that a woman would go out with, like, earplugs just to go around? But maybe it was really a problem. The pilpul begalgal melach, so these are the things that go into the mouth. So pilpul, I think, was to get out the, I'm not sure exactly what it was for, something to put in the mouth. Galgal melach, I think, was to get rid of the bad taste in your mouth. Some kind of fresheners. Peppercorn. Why is she chewing on it? I don't know. Probably to kill, what?
Mint.
Like a mint.
It's
bad breath.
To combat bad breath.
Bad breath, yeah. I have to say, I'm not sure I would have advised, you know, peppercorns to combat it, but they probably didn't have scope back then. So, ubegalgal melo chol davar shenitam tofa. Anything that she puts in the mouth for reason. Reason vachal utitin chachila.
But she looks like a diseased tooth.
Oh, that's right. That's why Rashi says, right. Medical reasons. And that's actually an important distinction, because one case is non-medical and the other one is medical. In the end, it says, "Cholav hashniton tochvev uvach lo titein lechachila b'Shabbat." You can't put it in on Shabbat. V'im nafal lo tachir. If it falls out of her mouth, she can't put it in. So shein tochavet shein shel zahav. Rabbi Matr chamim asurim. This is teeth which are sticking that are made out of gold. So because it looks Rabbi Matr is because it's part of her teeth, and she's not going to take it out. Chamim asurim. And I believe what Rashi says is she's going to be embarrassed about the tooth because it looks different. Therefore, she's going to come to take it out. She'll carry four amos to rabbi. Of course, it depends on what community you live in. Sometimes for some people, gold teeth is very common, especially, you know, Russian communities where gold was a pretty common tooth replacement. So I guess they got used to it and other places. But it's interesting that people were sticking gold teeth into their mouth even way back in the day. So Gemara says, Tzricha. What it's trying to say is, I need to tell you all hair conditions, hers, friends, animals. Because if it was hers, so she's not disgusted by it, because it's own hair. So here's very interesting. This sort of combats what we're saying. Her friend she's going to be embarrassed about, so therefore she's not going to want it in her hair. So apparently, I'm guessing that her friend she put in, I guess she was embarrassed that she had two-tone hair, you know, as opposed to today. And if I just told you that her friend's hair was okay to wear it in a chatzer, debat mina, they're the same species. But a woman is a little embarrassed about wearing some other woman's hair, but I mean, at least they're both women, but wearing animal hair, she's going to, everybody's going to say, ooh, look at that woman wearing horse hair, and then she'll come take it out, and she'll do something, and she'll carry four amos or shirah. So Gemara says, Tana b'vad shalot tetzei yalda, b'shel zikna, v'zikna b'shel yalda. Now Rashi turns this around. I'm going to avoid Rashi's limud here, because it gets complicated. I'm just going to learn it straight as the Gemara does it. The Gemara says, in all these cases with the hair, as long as an old, that is, you're allowed to go into the chatzer with it, with another woman's hair or your own hair, but an old woman, a young girl cannot go with an old woman's hair, and an old woman cannot go with a young woman's hair. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Bishlama zikna b'shel yalda shevachila. I understand you're telling me it's usher. You're telling me that even though it's normally allowed to go out into a chatzer on Shabbat with somebody else's hair, I can understand you telling me don't do it if you're an old woman wearing a young woman's hair. Why? Because I might think that it's mutter. because a woman is an old woman's happy to have non-gray hair, but I'm telling you that she's going to be embarrassed. She's going to want to take it off. Whereas the Eliyahu shall zikna, I am a gnai hula. But obviously a young girl can't go with an old person's hair, because a young girl is wearing gray hair. She's obviously going to be embarrassed in 2 seconds, and she's going to want to take it off. And again, Rashi switches this around, but I'm going to leave it as it is right now. So the verse says, I need the tana zikna, b'shel yalda, tana nami yalda, b'shel zikna. I learned one way, I learned the other way. Does that make sense? That is, you're right. I had to teach you that an old woman should go with the young woman's hair, because she'll get embarrassed, even though you would have thought she didn't. The other way, I'm just teaching you for the sake of teaching you. Now, that sort of contradicts the tzricha business that we just had before. The whole base of tzricha is I really don't have to say it unless you absolutely have to. This is trying to say, no, I didn't have to say it, but I said it anyway. And it could be that's why Rashi turns things around, but I don't want to go into it because I didn't learn it well enough to teach it, and in any event, it would take us too much time. Gemara says, b'chabul u'bepeya nachrit l'chatzer. So, in all these cases, with b'chabul, if it's time to b'chabul, and b'chabul is a hat, and the peya nachrit is the wig, chatzer you'll have to go to chatzer. I'm a rav. This is a very complicated Gemara. We have 10 minutes, and I have to say, this is a real mind. It's not complicated Gemara, but it's philosophically difficult, and you'll see why in a second. Amrav, kol sh'asu chamu l'tseifo, reshut arav, maso l'tseifo l'chatzer, chutz mikivu v'pat nachri. Anything that you're not allowed to go into a reshut arav, you're also not allowed to wear in your own chatzer, except for these two things, a hat and a wig. Rav Anani, Rav Shimshon disagrees. Mishmei de Rav Yishmael, Amrav, kol kikavu. It's all like a kavu, which means if you're not allowed to wear it, it's all that if you're allowed to wear it, you're not allowed to wear it in Shurabim, but just like a Kabul you're allowed to wear in a Chatzer, everything applies like that, not just a wig. The Gemara then asked, Tanan b'chabul peyanach v'chatzer. Our Mishnah specifically said that the only two things were Kabul and were a wig and a Kabul. How could you then say that everything else is like a Kabul when I said specifically a wig? Bishma l'rav, nicha, that's good. Aval revi yanani bar shishon kasha. So how could you argue against the Mishnah? The only way to argue against a Mishnah is to make him a Tana, and that's what we're going to do. Rav Anani bar Shimshon Mishmei Deman Kamerlei. You have to know that Rav Anani bar Shimshon was an Amora, wasn't talking for himself. Mishmei de Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi, Tana hu upalik. So it's very simple. He had a hot gun on his side. He had a Tanaic source, and because he had a Tanaic source, he could flat out argue with the Mishnah. But you're right. He doesn't agree with the Mishnah. What can you do? Life's done. The Gemara says, V'rav Maishna Hani. Why does Rav feel that a wig is different? So this is a real mind break. This is a brain teaser. Amar Ula, Kadei Shalo Titgan El Bala. I'll tell you why a wig is different. So that she doesn't become embarrassed in front of her husband, or ashamed for her husband, or ashamed to her husband. Kidatanya, repulsive. Kidatanya, V'haddava B'nidata. She will be pushed away when she is in her menstrual cycle. Zkenim harishonim amru shelo tichol velo tifkos velo tikashet bebigdei tzivonim. It means that when she is in nida, she can't dress up, make up, or put on any kind of jewelry whatsoever during that time, because we're afraid that her husband will get excited by it, and they'll come to be over the laws of nida. Much like we don't sleep in the same bed today when a woman's in nida. Now that's how they learn the hadaver b'nidata. They learn exera from that. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva v'limeid, and so Rabbi Akiva learned like this: Im Kain, if you make that law the law, if you stand by that gzera, and obviously this gzera has been in place for some time, atam gan el bala v'nimsa bala megarsha, she's going to be dressed up terribly, she's going to look bad, and her husband's going to get rid of her. Now let's not go into all this where the husband would just
know she's in nida.
What's that?
Everyone's going to know she's in nida.
Yeah, it's also good. The Gemara doesn't bring that up.
She's not wearing makeup.
The Gemara doesn't bring up that issue. I have to say, I even heard from somebody who would. I have to say, there's somebody, I can't say B'Shem Shalom, because I know he changed his mind. But I remember I had a Rebbe in YU, I won't say it was, and the people asked him about holding hands in public, a husband and wife, and he said, absolutely not a problem. So one of us kids, you know, like we know somebody, said, well, what if you're in Nida? So he says, no, nobody else's business. But I think what he's trying to say, that's what he said. Now, he would definitely change his mind. I have no doubt he's saying that. I haven't asked him directly, because I'm happy with his first psak. If I ask him, I have to back off that psak. So I'm very happy with first talk, and I know not when to not ask Akasha. But the question is, does it become mutter? Because if I hold my hands in public, if you want to say you never hold your wife's hand in public, end of story, so you don't have a problem. You don't hand it during needy, you don't hold it during non-needy. But if you hold your hand's wife during in public, and then you stop holding it for, let's say, 7 to 10 days, everybody knows when she's in Nida, she becomes embarrassed and ashamed, etc., that may be a heter to hold the wife's hand in Nida. Now, again, I'm not a posek. What's that? What's that? Something to think about. The problem is that the likelihood is to go more machmir, which is to say, okay, then you're right, you don't hold hands at all. But I'd say that I think there's room for Hetzer on the other side. The question is, will holding hands automatically lead to something more? Is holding hands very... The only Hetzer, I think, because I think people are comfortable with that, but keep in mind that I think there's a difference between sleeping in the same bed, where you're really next to each other and it's nighttime, it's bed, and walking through the streets where you're holding hands, where you could argue that it's comfort and common rather than sexual. So
way,
I think
Rabbi
that's...
Sprung said that when the wife is not the Nida, that you could hold hands.
Right, so but then you get to this problem, which is really raised. So that's why I believe what the rabbi was saying without saying.
Not at all, which is what it was originally told.
Right, so he went he went half and half. And then you just have to, I don't know, maybe, but who knows, maybe just a bump or two to keep up. That's another issue. Oh, well, that's the issue we're going to get to right now, which is Marad Ayin. How much do you have to worry about Marad Ayin? And that's the exact Gemara here. So a woman's going to get divorced if she looks bad for the week or 10 days. So he learns what that means is the pasuk means she's going to be pushed away while she's in Nida. Why does it repeat the word Nida? I tell you that not only after the 7 clean days, or by the way, that's really Rabbanan, 7 days period from the start of her Nida is Diraita, but she has to go to a mikvah. Without going to a mikvah, she's not clean. Wow. Wow on two parts. First of all, that means that Rabbi Akiva knows what he wants to say before he darshens the pasuk. Do you follow what I'm saying? He darshens the pasuk in order to avoid this bad gezerah that he didn't like. That's really wild right there. That's a wild concept that Rabbi Akiva knows what he wants to say before he reads into the pasuk, because then it's really reading in and not darshening out. Second of all, it wasn't obvious that a woman didn't need that she goes to a mikvah. I need Rabbi Akiva to darshen that out. So I'm going to leave both of those subjects alone because it's outside the scope of a shir. But you know, these 5-6 lines here, the tremendous gemara that really, I mean, if we spent a lot of time on it, we could wind up knowing a lot about Nida and a lot about how Rabbi Akiva is allowed to darshan, not allowed to darshan, and a lot about Marad Ayin and a lot of things. But this is dafyom. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Kol Makom Shasul Chamim Tnei Marad Ayin Afilu B'Chedre Chadar Masar. Any place where Marad Ayin is Asar, Afilu B'Chedre Chadar. And that's why my Rebbe, by the way, Rav Shlomo Werman, this I know he still holds because he wrote an article about it, says a lot of days we call everything Marad Ayin today, but it's not true. Like if you go and you order a kosher hamburger in a non-kosher hamburger store, we call that Marad Ayin. He says it's not Marad Ayin. He says it's called Tehiyim Nikiyim, and it's a rabbinic law. Marad Ayin, he says, has specific definitive parameters, Diyaraita parameters. When it applies not only in public but in private chadar chadarim, but it doesn't always apply. You can't always apply it, but again, more than that, I can't go into. If you're interested in the article, I have it. Tano velo bezug va'afal pi shepakuk v'tanya idach pokek la zug b'tzara matayli ma b'chatzer. Wait a second, you just said anything that's marat ayin is usher everywhere, but that's a whole problem because we're just establishing right now that something is usher b'shuda rabim but mutter nechatzer. But if you're saying that it's Asr Shudah Rabim for Marad Ayin, now, by Shabbat it's not Marad Ayin, but by this case it is Marad Ayin. What is the case? Guy can't go with his camel with a bell attached to it, like Bessie with a bell. Unless, even if it has, the bell is stopped up with some kind of cock, some kind of...
A donkey?
Okay. Some kind of... In the bell, there's some kind of thing which keeps it from ringing on Shabbat. Tani idach pokek lo b'zug b'tzavra matayi lima. But somebody... Somebody else says that you're allowed to stick it in and then go in your chatzer, which means you're not allowed to do Rashad Arabim, and Rashi says, why? Because somebody will come to think that you're selling little Bessie or the donkey Bessie. So even though it's not making ringing noise, it's Marad Ayin. But now we're saying that you're allowed to do it if you're on your chatzer. But wait a second. If it's a Marad Ayin issue, it should not only be Rashad Arabim, it should be a chatzer, and if nobody's looking, it should be Chadar Chadarim. Gemara says, Tanai, he gets what? It's a Makoke. The Tanya Shopchim Behema of Alo Kenegan Am. You're allowed to... What's Shulchan? Oh, Shulchan Bechama. What's to lay out things in the sun?
To lay out clothes in the sun.
Oh, you're allowed to lay out clothes in the sun, but not so everybody should see it. Why? What would be the problem? I didn't make any notes to myself. I don't remember what the problem was. Does the English anything say what the problem is?
Will suspect him of having washed his clothes on Shabbat.
Oh, right. So you're allowed to dry your clothes to the sun, but you're not allowed to wash your clothes. Somebody will say that he must have gotten wet today. What? Right. Even about lo kenegad anam, she's allowed to do a secluded area, but not allowed to do it publicly. Rabbi Lezer, Rav Shimshon Ostrom, they say not allowed to do it publicly or privately, because according to one opinion, afilu b'chadar chadarim, and the other opinion, nav chadar chadarim. I believe we passed them, by the way, chadar chadarim. I believe we've passed on that. As far as if it's real Marasayan, by the way, that's why you have to be careful. If it's not real Marasayan, it's not Chavar Chadar Adam. But if it is in the Marasayan, a real Marasayan, then it's a Afilu B'Chadar Chadar Adam.